This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Meller.
Jeff Meller is off today. I'm Jesse Rogers sitting in for the next 2 hours. It is White Sox Weekly on a historic day in franchise history. Ozzie Guillen and his number 13 will be retired tonight in a pregame ceremony. I'm coming to you live from the Rate. Welcome into White Sox Weekly, my first time hosting Weekly this year. I'd like to imagine it's for my acumen, but our executive producer, Brendan Riley, is next to me. I think he asked me to do it because I'm one of the few guys at ESPN 1000 old enough to remember Ozzie in every stage of his career as a White Sox person, I guess, because think about it, folks. Think about it for a moment. Rookie of the year in 1985, right? Player for the White Sox at shortstop, played every inning at shortstop. He had one game at DH, otherwise played every inning as a shortstop for 13 years. Debuts in 1985. 20 years later, after that debut, he wins a World Series with the team in 2005. And now, just over 20 years later, he's an iconic broadcaster with the team, and his number is getting retired. Some guys do one of those three things. Maybe a few do two of those three things. But iconic player, World Series manager, and now beloved broadcaster. He deserves his day as they will retire his number 13. And we will talk about it throughout the show. We'll take your phone calls, of course. We'll talk about what's going on with the team as well. Struggling right now. Losers of four in a row. That's a season high. Couple key call-ups from the minors. We'll discuss that in a bit. But this is Ozzie Guillen's day, and I want to take your phone calls on him as well as everything going on with the White Sox at 312-332-3776. I'm watching them from the broadcast booth where Len and DJ will bring you the game later. I'm watching them set up a little podium right in front of the White Sox dugout. It's about seven or eight chairs on the podium, then a bunch of other chairs in front of the podium for the dignitaries that are going to be here. A lot of former Ozzie Guillen teammates and players that played for him will be in attendance. We'll go through that list in just a little bit. So it's going to be a great day and evening. White Sox could top it off with a win, that's for sure. They could use it. We'll get to that again later on in the show. 312-332-3776, the number. This will be the 12th White Sox number to be retired. We can go through it real quick just to give you some history on it. Number 2, Nellie Fox is retired. Harold Baines wearing number 3. Number 4 was Luke Appling. Minnie Minoso at number 9. Luis Aparicio, 11. Paul Konerko, 14. Ted Lyons, who also managed, number 16. Billy Pierce, number 19. Frank Thomas, number 35. Mark Burley's number 56, most recently retired. Carlton Fisk, number 72, is also retired. So here we go. Ozzie Guillen becomes the 12th number to be retired. Number 13, nobody will ever wear it again. And of course, Jackie Robinson is retired across Major League Baseball, number 42. So again, 13 years as a player, World Series champion manager in 05, and the last seven or so as the analyst with Chuck Garfine, who will join me shortly as we discuss many aspects of Ozzie Guillen's career with the Chicago White Sox. So should be a fun day and evening. And again, the White Sox can certainly use a win to top it off. Sox fans head to the ballpark tomorrow, August 9th, as the White Sox take on the Guardians at 1:10. 15,000 fans in attendance will receive a Shoeless Joe Jackson bobblehead presented by the Village of Bedford Park. To purchase tickets and prepaid parking, visit whitesox.com/promos. Not a lot of seats left for tonight. I know that is for sure. I can't imagine too many tomorrow. This first place showdown between the White Sox and Guardians. And boy, it is tightening up in the AL Central. This is going to be a heck of a race. I was just doing our network pregame show a few minutes ago, and they asked me about this race and someone pulling away. And I'm like, no, nobody's pulling away. Not in this division. I'd like to think the White Sox can pull away. I just don't know if that's possible. We've played over 4 months, and they haven't yet, and nobody else has, that's for sure. It is certainly the White Sox division to lose. They've held on to first place for quite some time. It's tightened up for sure. Even the Tigers, do we really have to talk about the Tigers now? The Twins have been pesky all year. These Guardians do have some pedigree, right? They've been here. They've been in these moments in pennant races before, and they certainly did more at the deadline than a lot of people thought. So I can't imagine anyone pulling away as much as I'd like to think it's the White Sox. But they're going through a little bit of a rut. Dog days of August, that happens. They certainly ran into a juggernaut with the Boston Red Sox. I was saying on the radio the other day, I mean, if you play the Red Sox in April or May, that's 5 or 6 wins. Instead, it's 6 losses because the Sox played them twice when they were at their hottest. And certainly 2 nights ago was a devastating loss for a lot of different reasons. More than anything, it just crushed your bullpen and crushed your exhaustion levels because they had to fly back at 3:30 in the morning. And let's face it, last night they looked like a team and manager that arrived at 3:30 in the morning. Okay, everyone has a blunder. This is Will Venable's blunder. He went out for the second time in the first inning. You've seen it by now. You've heard it by now. He went out to talk to Noah Schultz for the second time in one inning after the pitching coach Zach Bove did. And because of that, he had to pull him a little bit early. Probably the worst day of the season for that to occur because they played 13 innings the night before. Having said that, it's not like Noah Schultz was off to a great start. So I'm not sure how long he was going to go, but certainly more than 23 pitches. And so David Sandlin had to come in. It's not as devastating because Sandlin ate up most of that game at that point, and he has now been sent down, and now you have a couple fresh arms here. Tanner McDougall, if you didn't see the news yet, and Hagen Smith, both called up from AAA Charlotte. Both will be making their major league debuts as soon as they get in the game. Both highly touted as prospects here. So it's not last night in itself, that blunder wasn't as devastating as it could have been if they'd run through 6 or 7 more pitchers. They just used 3 more after Schultz, but it came at a bad time. Sandlin gave up some runs. They never recovered. There were mistakes in the field. I'm going to say it. They did look like a team that arrived at 3:30 in the morning. So 4 consecutive losses in a row. That's a season high. Time to change that. All right. Thank God tonight was a night game instead of a day game because they still would not have been caught up yet. But you get a good night's rest. You have this incredible adrenaline rush with the ceremony, jersey retirement ceremony coming up here and a sold out crowd. I mean, the lines were out the door when I got here at the rate. People just chanting Ozzy in line, not making that up, chanting Ozzy in line over 3 hours before game time. So this should be a huge, huge night and a big boost for the home team as they try to get off the schneid here. All right. So that's what we have coming up. Lots of conversation about Ozzy and lots on this team as they try to, again, end that 4-game losing streak. Up next, Ozzy Guillen's partner on CHSN, it's Chuck Garfine. This is White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
The legendary AM 1000, the home of the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox fans get access to the best seats at the best value and lock in a 2027 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups, opening day on April 1st, and exciting new promotions. Plus, enjoy flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2027. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Jesse Rogers with you live from Wright Field, filling in for Jeff Mellor. Big day today as the franchise is going to retire. Number 13, the great Ozzy Guillen will get his moment at Wright Field. That ceremony will start at about 5:30, and we will bring it to you live right here on ESPN 1000, the White Sox radio network. And joining me now as we start our discussion on Ozzy Guillen during White Sox Weekly is his partner on CHSN, as good as it gets. It's Chuck Garfine. Chuck, thank you for joining me. I know you have a busy day because you are the MC of this ceremony in a couple hours.
It's a little daunting, I got to say. I mean, I've done TV for a long time, 3 decades, I think. I'm old. But I've never really done a speech in front of, you know, who knows how many people are going to be here. I know it's a sellout. It's a question of how many people are going to get, you know, get in here in time for it. I'm going to guess hopefully half, maybe more. I want everybody, by the way, if you're listening to this and you have tickets to the game, make sure you are in your seats by like 5:20. 5:20, I think it might start around 5:25, 5:30, because you don't want to miss this ceremony.
Absolutely, and I mentioned last segment, there were lines out the door. I mean, at 3 o'clock when I got here. Lines out the door. So I think you'll have a big audience at 5:30. And we were joking yesterday, I mean, whether it's radio or TV, you don't see the audience. Tonight, you're going to see the audience. I don't mean to make any more nervous, but it is a different animal.
Yeah, Jesse, now I'm not going to do it. I'm going to back out. I don't think I can handle this. No, but it's true. Like, when I'm doing television, I trained myself to do this in the very, very beginning. Never think about who's watching. I'm just basically performing for the people in the studio.
Yeah, right.
Don't think about anything more than that. Yeah. So I'm very, very comfortable doing shows. This is a little different. I've done speeches in front of people before, but you know what? I got a script. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. It's going to be a great experience. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry. Just the owner will be up there, and Harold Baines and Paul Canerico. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
but let's talk about your partner, because I think people, as I said this last segment, need to remember what this is all about. You don't see this out of many people in an organization. Rookie of the Year player, World Series manager, iconic broadcaster. That doesn't happen everywhere. Once in a while, you get two out of those three. You don't usually get the middle one, the World Series winning manager part of it. But he really does deserve this day as much as anybody, I think, in the organization's history, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at who is up here, and I'm actually right behind you, I can see Nellie Fox, Harold Baines, Luke Appling, Minnie Minoso, Louis Aparicio, Canerico, et cetera, Frank Thomas. You look at their stats, they jump off the page. Yeah. They are Hall of Fame stats, or in the case of Canerico, right on the edge, but just legendary careers statistically. Ozzy is not legendary in terms of stats. Now, you could find enough in there, 3 All-Star games, a Gold Glove. He does have the most hits of any number 9 hitter in the history of baseball, which is such an amazing stat. But that actually tells you why he is so unique, and there's so many things that are unique about Ozzy, because he was, I don't want to say such a bad hitter, but he was a hitter where you're like, okay, we need this guy in our lineup so badly because of his defense, just bat him ninth. And he stayed batting ninth for so long. He has told a story, how Bobby Cox would want to bat him leadoff near the end of his career, and Ozzy would go into Bobby Cox's office and tell him, no, keep me down at number 9. Who does that in Major League Baseball? No one would ever do that. He wants less at-bats, not more.
And nobody with an ego, that's for sure. And yes, and I mean it when I say as much as anybody in the organization, because of everything you just said and what I said earlier, like, no one's done what he's done. That's why he's deserving. The stats are one thing. He doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but this is different. So now let's go to your partnership. It's must-watch TV. My wife even enjoys it, and she's not the biggest baseball fan. I think you probably hear that from a lot of people whose spouses or partners or whatever are not the biggest fans or don't understand the game, but they love the entertainment factor. And the later the night goes, the later the West Coast games, the better it is. But the bottom line is, and I'll give Jerry Reinsdorf credit, he doesn't ask his broadcasters, including Steve Stone, to sugarcoat it. Ozzy tells it like it is. During the lean years most recently, he certainly did, and he still does up until last night when Venable made this mistake. And I imagine as you're the sort of straight man, makes it so enjoyable that you can tee him up with that stuff.
Yeah, so I can dissect a lot of what you said there. Number one, the greatest compliment you can give me, and we do get them, and it's awesome, is people watch the show and they're not baseball fans.
Exactly.
People watch the show, and they're Cubs fans.
We get Cubs fans
watching the show.
Really?
Yes, we do. We get that because we tell it like it is, and it is a baseball show. It is a White Sox show. It's also the Chuck and Ozzy show.
Yes, it is.
So we have fun, and I learned through the lean years, 100 losses 3 years in a row, and I'm thinking about if I'm a White Sox fan, and it depends on the game, but for the most part, if the White Sox just lost 12-2, what is it going to take for them, viewers, to watch this show? Okay? They do not want to hear, I mean, unless it's something controversial happened like last night. Like, people want to hear us talk about what happened with Will Venable and Noah Schultz. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But if it's just like a drubbing, like, let's make it the Chuck and Ozzy show. Let's do something different. Let's get people to watch the show. And, yes, we can be critical. And something that Jerry Reinsdorf has said to me just a couple of times in 15 years, which is like, you can't BS White Sox fans.
That's right.
Just don't make it personal.
Of course.
And so I do not make it personal. And also, I mean, you've been in clubhouses. You know what it takes to play this sport. Mm-hmm. This is like no other sport that I can think of, how the daily grind of it all. And, you know, people were criticizing, I guess, our show a little bit after the loss to the Red Sox, that 13-inning game.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, was that 13-inning
game? Yeah, 13. Yeah,
number 13, 13.
Why were they being critical? I didn't
because they lost the game. And there's a portion of the fan base that now is expecting them to play like playoff contenders every single day. That was maybe the best regular season game I've ever watched the White Sox play.
Most entertaining, at least.
Yeah. Now, was it a perfect game for them? No. Was it a perfect game for the Boston Red Sox? No. They made like two big errors that led to runs. I mean, but, you know, that showed me so much of what this White Sox team is. And so there was an example of like, you know, that's how I felt.
Sure.
And, you know, every White Sox fan is not going to agree with what we have to say. But, you know, we are going to tell it like it is. And we've fortunately not had to have too many critical shows because the team is playing so well.
No doubt. I had a couple thoughts on this. First of all, I think, again, I will commend Jerry for saying that to you, because I don't understand why anybody, and maybe we're getting in the weeds here, would tell their broadcasters to lie to their fans.
There's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. If you want people to tune in,
yes,
BSing them is not the way to do it. Telling the truth, even if it's negative, is the way to do it. Not negative, but
even more now. And what's funny is that go back, I mean, especially in Chicago, like Harry Caray, Jimmy Pearsall, they used to rip the players. Yeah. That was during the broadcast, right? And I think, would that work in Kansas City and other markets? I don't know. But in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, Philly, Michael Barkan does the post-game shows in Philadelphia, and he lets it fly.
Yeah.
But you got to be professional. I will always be professional. And if I ever find myself not being professional about something, I will apologize on the air. I want to be authentic. I want to be myself. And it's also live television. And 99.9% of the time, I'm in control of what I'm going to say. Every once in a while, I will like, oh, where did that come from? Because it's in me.
If you do it 0.1% of the time, Ozzy does it probably a little bit more than that.
Yes.
But you don't hire Ozzy Guillen to do it if you're not going to let him be honest.
Yes.
And he's brutally honest. He certainly was honest during the Grafal years,
yes,
as we know. And,
yes,
and now he's honest here, mostly in a good way, praising guys and stuff. But it's such a good watch, in good times or bad. I think Ozzy's probably, like anybody with more reps, has gotten even better as a broadcaster over time. My wife loves the accent and how he, you know, when he gets upset and stuff, and she's like, what did he say? I'm like, don't you? I speak Ozzy. Don't worry about it.
Ozzy. Yeah, well, no, the way I say it is, I'm going to say it in my speech here today, I speak two languages. I speak English and I speak Guyanese.
Right.
It is Guyanese. So I'm fluent. If you want a lesson in it, I can try and help you out
with that. Let me clear for people listening. I don't speak Spanish. He speaks two languages. I give him all the credit in the world.
Yes, correct.
But it's entertaining.
It is.
It's entertaining. How do you think he's going to handle this? Because I know this has been emotional for him.
Yeah.
And to see all these former players of his and teammates and the whole organization sort of behind him on this day, is he going to get emotional tonight?
Yeah, and I'll give you a backstory. So this is something that was brewing even last year. And, you know, this is something that Ozzy wanted, you know, and he didn't, you know, he says he didn't want it for himself necessarily as much as he wanted it for his kids, his grandkids. He gave his life to this organization, still does. And there was, I don't want to get too specific, but I mean, this was something that was in the cards. We'll just say that it was in a discussion mode of, this was last year, to maybe have it done this year.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of stopped. And this was after, no, so the day before the home opener, 2 days before the home opener, Ozzy and I went to dinner, and he was just kind of like upset that like it wasn't on the schedule and it was going to be another year of him not getting his jersey retired. And so I get to the ballpark, home opener, and they tell me that I and Ozzy are going to be making an announcement during the game,
right,
They're not going to tell us what it is. And you don't ever, this has never happened before, where they want you to make an announcement, not only in the broadcast, but like on the loudspeaker everywhere here. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to retire his jersey.
So you did think of it.
So, yeah, I'm thinking they're going to retire his jersey. I show up here, but they haven't told me. And it's an hour before our show, and I see Brooks Boyer. And I go, Brooks, is someone going to tell me what this is all about? And he goes, well, what do you think it is? And I said, well, I think you guys are going to retire his jersey. And Brooks Boyer did the greatest acting job
really?
In the history of Hollywood. He was crestfallen, and he said to me, oh, I wish that was the case.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, we actually don't have any open weekends this year and next year. I mean, who knows? There could be a lockout. I'm not sure. And he's just, like, throwing all these things at the board. And he goes, I can't tell you what it is, but it's a promotional item. So I go up there.
It's a Mooney bobblehead.
I'm like, is this going to be another bobblehead? And if you watch the tape, Ozzy and I literally think that Scott Podsednik is going to give us a bobblehead to announce. I'm like, this is going to be the biggest embarrassment.
Oh, my God. Like, so Brooks really had you convinced.
Totally had me convinced. Yeah. So that when Scott showed up there, and Scott, I was talking to Scott before the game, he didn't know what he was doing. He came up to me, he goes, do you know what I'm doing? I go, I have no, like, what? I don't even know what you're doing. They kept this so tightly under wraps. Finally, Scott comes out there and he presents the, you know, he reads off the piece of paper that says they're going to retire his jersey. So Brooks clearly wanted Ozzy to be surprised and me, and it worked.
Yeah, that's a great story. I didn't know all those back details. Well, we'll let you go as I need you. I know you need to, you know.
Practice my speech.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yes.
Yeah. If I practice,
you have a script writer or anything? Is this all you?
No. There was a script, and actually, it's so funny. My script is in your booth. Like, what is going
We're
on here?
We're passing it around. I guess.
What's going on here?
We're passing it around.
So there was a script that was given to me, and I have made some tweaks, some additions. And I think you'll know where I'm coming from when I add when you hear it.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, you'll do a great job, and you guys are a great watch. So, congrats. You're part of this. You're part of this, to be honest. You know, if he fails as a broadcaster, who knows if we're here, but you helped him along, and you two are great. So.
Yeah, it's my job to be the point guard. I'm just giving him alley-oops as much as I can as a basketball reference comes in here.
You do a great job. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's Chuck Garfine from CHSN. He's going to be emceeing the ceremony at about 5:25, so you want to be listening on ESPN 1000. Of course, if you're at the ballpark or coming to the ballpark, get here in time. I'm assuming it's going to last about a half hour, something like that. We got first pitch just after 6 o'clock between the White Sox and Guardians. All right, we'll take a break. Maybe take some phone calls if you want to talk about your favorite Ozzy memories. One thing, he could have been great and get his number retired without this iconic personality to him, but he also has this personality, and I'm thinking about Chicago sports history. It's like Mike Ditka, Ozzie Guillen, and I don't think there's a third place anywhere close, to be honest. And so that's part of it. If you have a favorite Ozzie story, his appearances on radio and TV over the years as a manager, I mean, you just get into an elevator with Ozzie Guillen, and those 20 seconds are as entertaining as can be. I'll tell you a quick one when we come back. It's White Sox Weekly. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Jeff Miller.
Get weird with Waddle's World on ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Let's pause 10 seconds for station ID.
This is ESPN Chicago, home of the White Sox. WMVP WTBC HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Sox fans, head to the ballpark on Tuesday, August 11th, as the White Sox take on the Cincinnati Reds at 6:40. All fans in attendance will receive a White Sox Pope hat. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. Jesse Rogers back with you at Wright Field, filling in for Jeff Miller as I continue to watch them set up for the ceremony at about 5:25. They will get things going to honor Ozzie Guillen, retiring his number 13 jersey. Taking your phone calls, what are your favorite Ozzie memories? 312-332-3776. That could be as a player if you're of age, as a manager if you just loved those teams and the 05 World Series team, of course. Or if you're younger and you just know him as a broadcaster and a great analyst, love to take your favorite memories of Ozzie Guillen. 312-332-3776. And I wasn't wrong. I think it's him and Mike Ditka on the Mount Rushmore of entertaining Chicago athletes, managers, whatever. And he certainly was as entertaining as they come. Like I said, just getting to an elevator. I mean, the last homestand, it's a small thing. It's a funny thing. Maybe you have to be there. I'm on the elevator. It's a packed elevator, all right? Last homestand. He gets on it. Beautiful day. He gets on it, and he looks at the group of people in there, and like I said, it's packed. He goes, oh, too bad it's going to rain. And including myself, everybody starts pulling out their iPhone to look. Wait, what? What? And a couple of people are like, oh, no, like a sigh. And then they get off, and he goes, oh, they're in for a surprise. It's going to be a great night. And it's just like that little thing, doesn't know anybody in there, you know, and he just loves to needle and have fun. And I've been on like 5 elevator rides this year where he's done little stuff like that. That was just the latest one. Cracked me up. 312-332-3776. All right, let's play a little audio from Ozzie Guillen. How about when he found out he was getting his jersey number retired?
The Chicago White Sox announced today that 2005 World Series winning manager Ozzie Guillen will be honored on Saturday, August 8th.
I know, the bobblehead.
With a special ceremony retiring his number 13 uniform.
No way!
The shortstop, who played for 13 seasons with the White Sox, will be the 13th player in franchise history to have his number retired, and first manager.
Oh, that is amazing.
Mr. Ozzie Guillen, your legacy will be forever etched.
Oh, my God. Where's my wife?
She's right here. Evis.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Ozzie.
I don't know how to react, how to say thank you to the White Sox organization, and they made these people
incredible.
Wow. What I can say? After Wednesday happened?
Make sure you're here.
No, August 8th. I can dine August 9th now. My God, this is the biggest news I ever had in baseball.
Congrats.
Oh, my God. Where's my kids?
Wow.
The only thing I can say is thank you. Thank you so much, because people, they don't know how big this been. Do know.
I know.
And a couple guys know, my family know, how big that's in my family. We talked about a couple days ago going to Butterfly.
We did talk about
this. Yeah, and on this song, I said, you know what, Chuck, why I want it?
Yeah.
Because everybody know who I am, what I do here. Just when my kids, my grandkids, walk through this ballpark, they can see grow up.
They'll always be able to see number 13.
And besides that, I'm going to be always dreaming about this. Not dreaming, think about it. Yeah. I'm going to be next to PK and Luis Aparicio.
Yes.
One of my guys I admire the most, and one of my best players I've been managing is. And you, how the hell did you give me this? You know it.
I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know it.
I feel better you did, bro, because you you know how much you are mean to me and my family. Wow.
Chuck did not know anything about it. We heard from Chuck last segment. He was as surprised as anyone. He thought it might be that case, but Brooks Boyer shot it down, and so he was surprised as well. That was Ozzie Guillen the day he found out that his jersey was being retired, and he said he could die on August 9th. Well, Ozzie, please don't do that. You know, retiring your jersey, but we need you for the playoffs, for God's sakes. Jesse Rogers with you, sitting in for Jeff Miller. It is White Sox Weekly. So that was his reaction then. I mentioned how I feel like he's an iconic figure in this city. He's up there with Mike Ditka's personalities. And he talked to Len and DJ shortly after that announcement about what Chicago means to him.
Always. A lot of people say, are you crazy? I just stay in Chicago with the weather. I love Chicago, man. You know, we move, everybody move. And we live together here in the suburbs. And I have a great time here. The people, the respect is mutual. You know what I mean? Just something. My kids, like, all grow up here. My grandkids are going to be Illinois, Chicago people. And this
this town to me is a lot. I mean, especially when you're coming from another country, you base in some places, so you can base any place you want. But in the end of the day, I appreciate what Chicago people, fans, north side, south side, east, whatever it is, the respect they have for me and the love they have for myself is mutual. You know what I mean? I love them a lot, and the respect they have and the love they have is just something you cannot take it with you. It's just special. You know what I mean? The love I have from the people in the streets and the golf course, anywhere I go, it's mean to me a lot. That's one of the biggest reasons we stay here in Chicago.
That was Ozzie Guillen with Len and DJ talking about what Chicago means to him. 312-332-3776 is the number. I want to get to the phone lines in just a second, your favorite Ozzie memories, but also open up to your feelings on the team right now because they are scuffling a little bit. Are you looking at it glass half full or half empty? Because you could look at it half full in the sense that they're in first place. They've gone through this rough stretch. They just called up two key prospects today in Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith. Or you could look at it as half empty. The rest of the division is starting to catch up to them. They are struggling more than they have all season, just in the sense that they've lost four in a row. I could see it both ways. But I do think they get a reset today after 13 innings, 3:30 a.m. arrival. What happened last night, now you get a good night's sleep. You've got Ozzie Guillen. I think they'll bounce back from all of that. But that's me with the glass half full. I want to get your thoughts on it as well. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Rob, who's on his way here to the rate. Rob, what's happening?
Hey, Jesse, long time no talk since we cooked up at the John Maley Baseball Camp 10 years ago. How are you?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was great. Good to be with you. Good to talk to you, I guess I should say. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I used to help run the White Sox youth programs with Mike Huss, and Ozzie Guillen actually came down and toured through Australia with me a bit. That's where I live now these days. I've actually come back in part from Australia just to be here today to see this day. I'm as excited as when the last time Chicago went to the World Series. But the thing I wanted to bring up, Jesse, is, look, I don't think we're a country of immigrants, and Ozzie Guillen's the only person not born a U.S. citizen to be the manager or head coach to win in the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball. It's an extraordinary feat for an immigrant in our country that never gets talked about, and I think it's worth celebrating today, too.
That's a great point. I don't disagree with you at all. The Latin American presence in the dugout hasn't always been plentiful, and him being sort of a risky hire by Kenny Williams turned out to be one of the best hires you could ever imagine. So that's a great point. Thank you for the call, and safe travels in. Let's go to Steve out in O'Hare. What's happening, Steve? You're on ESPN 1000 White Sox Weekly.
Hey, I wish I could be there too, but we're traveling. But I remember at a game back in the 80s in the old park, I was watching Ozzie at shortstop. Guy on first, I can't remember who they were playing or anything, but someone took off stealing. The batter hit a line drive to right field, you know, behind the base stealer. Ozzie at shortstop camps under an imaginary fly or pop-up, and I watch the runner turn around, run back to first. And ultimately, he did make it back to second safe, but he might have even scored on the play, but Ozzie certainly fooled him out of at least one base. That was great. I love watching Ozzie do stuff like that.
Absolutely. He was smart. He was slick. He was the captain of that team and that infield for sure. Yeah, light hitting, but he had a big impact. So great call, great memory. I mean, there's so many of them. The politically incorrectness of Ozzie sometimes is just fantastic. Just the Bobby Jenks when he'd go to the mound doing that whole thing to call Bobby Jenks out, you know, where he kind of do the waistline thing. So funny. I mean, there's so many things. You know, I would cover him as a reporter, young reporter, producer in radio, and just the wife jokes. He would tell a lot of wife jokes, you know, but all in good spirit. He loves his wife, but he would always be telling in front of cameras and stuff. He's just a lot of wife jokes and, you know, just stuff that would be politically incorrect. But Ozzie is one of those guys that can get away with it all. And just like he can be critical of a player or a team or the manager, and he has the respect in the clubhouse, in the dugout,
that he can get away with it, so to speak. And so he's one of those guys, like I said, like he's just iconic in this city. And, you know, you love the authentic nature of his personality and how honest he is, good and bad, I guess, right? 312-332-3776 is the number. How excited are you for Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith? This bullpen gets a bump. It's MLB debuts number 14 and 15 when they get into a game. That's nearly unheard of, let alone for a first-place team. We'll talk about it with you next on the other side of this break. It's White Sox Weekly. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Jeff Meller on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko, weekdays, 9 to noon, ESPN Chicago.
Join us at the ballpark for Family Sundays presented by Coca-Cola. The first 125 kids to enter at Gate 5 will head to the Wintrust Kids Zone mini field to receive autographs from some of their favorite players. Plus, enjoy family-friendly activities. Kids can run the bases and more. To learn more and purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/Sunday. Jesse Rogers back with you, sitting in for Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. We will bring you the Ozzie Guillen jersey retirement ceremony about an hour from now, just a little bit over an hour from now. It's supposed to start around 5:25. They just opened the gates a little bit early because I think they want to get this place packed for the ceremony, which will be emceed by Chuck Garfine, who we talked to last half hour. 312-332-3776. The number if you want to discuss Ozzie Guillen, your favorite memories, as well as this team right now, the additions of McDougal and Smith in the bullpen. That's the news today. Both kind of highly touted guys, live arms, rested a little bit more rested arms than the White Sox have. I would expect one or both to get in tonight's game, obviously, depending on how things go. A couple nuggets here, because this is just amazing. The White Sox have debuted 13 players so far this year, most by any team this season. That normally does not happen for a first-place team. You know why? Because it's hard to be in first place with so many guys making their debuts. They're usually learning the league and learning how to be a major leaguer, not necessarily playing winning baseball. But the Sox have managed to do both, and now they're going to add number 14 and 15 when Hagen Smith and Tanner McDougal get into a game. Again, already 13 is the most by any team this season. The last time a playoff team had 13 or more players make their MLB debuts in a season was 2022, when the Guardians and Cardinals both do it. So it's not unheard of, but it's been, you know, about 4 years since it's happened. But that's 13-plus players. We're going to get up to 15 now. The White Sox, having 13 players make their MLB debuts this season, ties their franchise record for the most since 2000. It ties their 2024 season when they were 41-121. Big difference than 59-56, right? So as they get to 14 or more, which should happen today, it'll be their most since 2000. So quite amazing to debut all those guys, let alone, and especially so, on a first-place team. Last nugget on that, if they get to 15, which they will, it'll be tied for the most in a season in the last 90 years. They also had 15 in 1995. Didn't go to the playoffs then, right? Or did they? After the strike? Can't remember now. Did they go in 95? Len, did they go to the playoffs in 95? No. Not after the, they should have won the World Series in 94. Did not go in 95. All right. Had to remember that one. All right, let's hear from Chris Getz. He met the media yesterday, in fact. And look, he already talked about Luis Castillo after they made that trade. But then they made a couple more. Obviously, Joey Bart went out with that fractured hand. So, you know, Getz talked about what they did post Luis Castillo with the catching move, the bullpen, and obviously some of the things that went on there at the deadline. Let's hear from Chris Getz.
You know, we went into the deadline very open-minded. We were, but, you know, we did want to preserve our top prospects, in which we felt like we were able to accomplish and make measurable steps forward with the talent on our major league club. So, you know, we've got a lot of players that were asked from our prospect group. I understand that. It's not that we were dismissive and unwilling. It just didn't make sense with some of the asks. It's very clear that, you know, a Caleb Bonham or a Billy Carlson, very attractive pieces. But then you know, with us wanting to maintain the group that we've been able to grow on the minor league side, that's only going to help us in the future. We felt like we were able to accomplish not only adding wins to our major league club, but also maintaining prospect depth.
Chris, you talked to the guys in the clubhouse as we have since SoxFest, I guess, really at this point. And it's such a close group and they have such a strong belief in themselves. And it's almost kind of not a defiance, but a fun belief like, you know, we're showing everyone else. How much do you trust this group? I mean, regardless of who you've added, how much do you trust as to what's been built and what's been accomplished already with more to come?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to disrupt what's going on in the clubhouse. I really didn't. And you know, we were very mindful of who we were adding in and the character and obviously the talent on the field, but didn't want to subtract from what's, you know, put us in this position right now. So, you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, there's a clubhouse that maybe need, you know, there's additions by subtraction, or you're willing to, yeah, just make some changes within it, thinking that you're going to, you know, help your major league club or help the future. So I really feel like we were able to, you know, maintain, you know, this belief in magic that's going on right now and always looking for opportunities to fuel to this group. And we feel like we've done that in a non-disruptive way in addition to, you know, maintaining our farm system and the top level talent that we have that, not only we believe that's going to be able to help our major league club in the future, but also, you know, if there are future additions down the road.
Talk us through kind of how the Brenton Doyle pursuit came about, both in terms of like determining that you wanted to upgrade there and, you know, what you see with him, especially with what he's kind of done offensively in the past, and ultimately the decision to kind of, you know, prioritize him over Everson Pereira.
Yeah. So Doyle, you know, he's had a year that is, you know, a 3-win plus player, 2-time gold glove recipient, someone that defensively has driven his value in this game. But we also see, you know, quite honestly, some offensive potential that hasn't been tapped into here recently. Most recently this season, you know, with injuries and that stuff is behind him. We felt like, you know, adding Brenton Doyle, not only just our group here, but our projections, you know, have led us to, if Brenton Doyle comes to the White Sox, we're going to add wins not only in 2026, but in 2027 as well. So, you know, balancing the acquisition cost with bringing Brenton Doyle in, we felt like it was a good move for us now and for the future.
You've made a couple, you know, references now to kind of listen to what your projections are saying and also listen to what they're saying for 27. How much of that, like, kind of two-year focus, both in what you're sending out in terms of prospect guys, maybe some people who are farther away, and what you're prioritizing since you didn't bring any rentals, everyone kind of has another year of control. How much does that impact the process?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a calculus that comes into, all right, what, you know, who are we parting with? What are we bringing in? What is it going to, how is it going to affect the 2026 roster and also the future? And obviously with a Brenton Doyle, you know, you give up a Mason Adams, someone that, yeah, has starting ability, you know, can provide ins for the major league club. He did need to be added to the 40-man roster, not only last offseason, but this upcoming season. Good player, going to help a major league club. Obviously going to, you know, give up talent to get talent, but we felt like based on the depth that we have, both on the pitching side, just talent in general, we felt like Brenton Doyle, you know, was going to be able to help us, both short-term, long-term. And, you know, you look at the depth of our outfielders, it's, you know, I would say that we have more strength and depth on the infield side than we do the outfield. So to bring in Brenton Doyle does you know, strengthen the group as a whole.
Hey, Chris, just what stands out to you about Brazelbon?
Man, I, you know, going back to the WBC, you know, with Dominican Republic, I mean, gosh, he was lights out there. He's continued to do that with the Mets this year. He takes the ball. He's got a great attitude. Everyone I talk to, you know, not only with the Mets and other people, you know, they're like, this is a guy. Like, this is a guy that can really help the group that you have right now. He's going to fit right in. So, you know, older guy, but he does have control. Obviously, you know, when you're talking about a 37-year-old, you know, when's this going to, you know, when's it going to give? But he's the guy that I feel like is going to fit right in and be able to pitch and leverage moments, get out some of the best hitters in baseball. Just an exciting get for us.
Chris, taking all your answers into one, I mean, I know you started this with your front office. Will has kind of built on it, and the players said they've run with it. Do you feel like there's a White Sox culture now specifically in place for this organization where maybe it wasn't there before?
Yeah, I mean, Will's done such a good job, you know, with how he handles himself, you know, how he communicates to players, and, you know, just this ease about him that has allowed players to go out there and be themselves and perform at such a high level. And, you know, I'm trying to do everything that I can to nurture that and not disrupt at the same time. Sometimes there's opportunities that you feel like, okay, this player coming in here objectively is going to add so much more to this club. But I think more than anything, we've got something special going on. And this group, they play happy. They play excited. They're optimistic. And, you know, I think our fans have been fantastic. They're supporting this group. I think they feel, you know, what's going on here in the Chicago White Sox organization. So, you know, I'm doing everything I can to really help this group continue to grow and trying to find ways to support it.
All right, that was Chris Getz post-trade deadline, putting some context into what he did before. You can't do anything else with your team, right? No more deals between now and the end of the season. And I think it's okay to ask the question because I do think they were asking it right up until the deadline. Did they do enough? Could they have added one more pitcher? Could they have used one more pitcher? I think it's a worthy question. I think we're not even a week out, and it's a worthy question. Noah Schultz was sent down, obviously, because he was used, and they weren't going to use him in the next few days. But he hasn't completely worked out. Luis Castillo's first outing, mixed bag. Like, could they have added one more is a question they were wondering and thinking about up until the deadline. Let's hope we're not wondering that in the coming weeks and months, like, oh, could have used one more. It probably would have meant touching some of their better prospects, and that's something they did not want to do. So I think it's something we can debate and talk about here on the airwaves. 312-332-3776. Do you think they did enough, or are you feeling like they're a little short? Now, I say that coming off a 13-inning affair and all that went on there, so it feels short in this moment. But maybe a reset here and the couple new arms will make the difference. But I do know it's something they were thinking about as well. Do we need one more? I'm talking about a starter. Not easy to get two starters in the market. The Padres did it. The Cubs did it. But it's not easy to do, especially if you don't want to touch your top five, six, seven prospects. The Cubs certainly did that, trading a top prospect. The Padres traded some good prospects. So I get it. It's a tough balance. A tough balance. 312-332-3776, the number, if you want to chime in about that. Jesse Rogers on White Sox Weekly, filling in for Jeff Meller. You're listening to ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Head to the ballpark on Friday, August 21st for Elvis Night, presented by Beggar's Pizza, as the White Sox take on the New York Mets at 6:40. Catch the White Sox in their iconic City Connect uniforms. Plus, stick around for a post-game fireworks show. To purchase tickets and prepaid parking, visit whitesox.com/promos. Jesse Rogers back with you on White Sox Weekly. We're less than an hour away from the Ozzie Guillen jersey retirement ceremony. Chuck Garfine will MC it, and a lot of dignitaries will be on that podium. They're setting up just in front of the White Sox dugout. A lot of former players, a lot of players from the 05 team will be here. Should be a lot of fun. We'll carry that with you, for you, on ESPN 1000 and the White Sox Radio Network. Coming up about an hour from now, just a little bit under an hour. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from the rate. Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
What's going on, Jeff? Good to talk to you, man.
Yeah.
What, did they give Jeff the day off on Aussie Day, man, or what?
Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, they picked the one of the oldest guys at the station, because I do remember to do the show. I do remember Ozzie as a player. Now, I was young, but I do remember him as a player. He was fun to watch.
Well, they picked the right guy, man. Good for you. So, yeah. Oh, man. The line's finally starting to move, dude. It's been chaos here, man. Terrible. We're trying to get in a lot, too. And they had us, like, serpentine in lot E. So, like, none of the cars were even be able to come in here and park because there's so many people just blocking everything.
Yeah,
but
well,
crazy.
Today's
the finally moving, man. It's like, oh, my God.
Today's the day. You got to just be patient, man. It's a special day.
Oh, I hear you, man. I hear you. I just wish, you know, like, hopefully next time we get a day like this, they have a little bit more organization, if you know what I mean. But I appreciate you for taking my call, man.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. I thought we were going to get like an Aussie memory or something. But look, you got to be patient on a day like today. They did open the gates early. So besides setting up this podium in front of the dugout, they carved a number 13 where the shortstop usually stands. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So you're going to see 13 when you walk into the rate, right where Aussie Guillen used to stand all those years ago. 12 years. As a White Sox shortstop, he played every game there. I think it was one as a DH. Actually, 13 years, 85 to 97, 13 years as the White Sox shortstop. Like I said, I think he played one game as DH. But he was the guy there from 85 to 97. Then the manager from 04 to 2011, wins the World Series in 05. In the last 7 years as an analyst, just doing a great job on TV. He is really must watch. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump on. Talk about Aussie Guillen. If you have some favorite Aussie Guillen memories as a player, as a manager, or as an analyst on TV, feel free to jump on. But if you want to talk about this team scuffling a little bit, I mean, amazing that they're the last team in baseball to lose more than three games in a row. That's incredible in this day and age. 162 games, the way these teams travel and the schedule and the day games, the night games. It's amazing that this is the first time all year they lost four in a row. And you probably can chalk a lot of it up to the late, you know, 13-inning loss in Boston and having to come back and land here at 3:30 in the morning. Sometimes you're able to allow your adrenaline to get you through that first game, and you sometimes feel it in the second game. Unfortunately, the Sox looked like a team that had played 13 innings and flew all night yesterday. It wasn't one of their best affairs. We know what happened with Will Venable pulling Noah Schultz. So they got to flush that one and come back. But I do love the fact that in some ways that mistake by Venable kind of sort of opened the door for McDougal and Tanner and Hagen Smith, Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith, to get called up. Because, I don't know, what if Noah Schultz pitches seven innings? They don't need the bullpen help, right? So that mistake solidified the fact that they were going to go down and get some bullpen help, and now we get to see what McDougal and Hagen Smith, now out of the bullpen, even though they've made starts in the minors, they're both in the bullpen. We'll see what they do. And, of course, we Sox need to address what they're going to do next time around when Noah Schultz's spot is up. I'm not sure if Venable's addressed it yet, but you know, obviously Eric Fetty's still around. He was a starter until recently, went to the bullpen. So they'll deal with that in 4 days. But right now they have to get off the schneid, get off the deck here, win a baseball game, increase that lead back up to three or more, you know, three today. That's as much as they can do today. But if they can win the next two games, then they feel a lot more in the driver's seat again in the AL Central, which is tightened up. I mean, it is absurd. And who let the Tigers back in this party? I thought we kicked the Tigers out of the party. Now the Tigers are back in the party. The Twins have been hanging on the, like, they haven't been on the dance floor. They've been hanging around the dance floor, Brendan, Brendan Riley, if you follow my analogy here, they've been hanging around the dance floor. They haven't overtaken the Sox. Cleveland's been on the dance floor with the Sox the whole time, neck and neck for the most part. The Tigers have been outside the disco, okay? Somehow someone let them in the party. And now we got a 4-team battle going on, though the Sox still in the lead, 2-game lead here, as we head to the final 7 weeks or so. All right, 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump on as we talk Ozzie Guillen and the White Sox. We got White Sox Guardians, and we'll take your phone calls after this break on White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
Runner-up to Oakland's Dennis Eckersley in the American League Cy Young Award voting last year. Here's a chopper. Tough play for Ozzie. Bare hands, throws. In time!
One of many highlights Ozzie Guillen had at shortstop. 13 years with the White Sox, manning that position from 85 to 97. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly, a very special edition in advance of the Ozzie Guillen number 13 jersey retirement ceremony. We will bring you that live in less than an hour. Join us for $5 Tuesdays. All fans will enjoy a specially priced $5 concessions menu, including draft beers from Miller Lite or Modelo, Garrett popcorn, stadium buttery, Vienna beef hot dogs or Polish sausages, beggar's pizza slices, nachos, and select Coca-Cola products. To purchase visit tickets, visit whitesox.com/Tuesdays. Jesse Rogers back with you, sitting in for Jeff Mellor. Jeff will be back next week. I'll have the pre and post game for you as well. White Sox and Guardians in about 90 minutes. Len and DJ will have the call. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump on and talk about the White Sox or Ozzie Guillen. Here's George on his way to the park. George, what's happening? You're on White Sox Weekly.
Hey, Jesse. About a decade ago, there was a charity softball game between the Cubs and the Sox. Mm-hmm. And I'm the M&M guy, and they asked me to be the manager of the White Sox. The big hat guy managed the Cubs. So we're in the clubhouse, and it's pretty boring. People are eating, they're chatting, and there's some personalities in there, but it's just nothing's happening. It's just dull. And all of a sudden, Ozzie walks in, and the place lights up like a tornado. He is certifiably crazy. He starts yelling at everybody, swearing at everybody, smacking him in the head, just generally causing all sorts of chaos. And what went from a library was now all of a sudden this place with fireworks. It was insane. He is the greatest personality out there, bar none. He and I have been friends for years, and I love the guy. Just wanted to wish him well, and it was so much fun that day.
Great call. He can liven any party up. There's no doubt about it. If you're throwing a party, you want to invite Ozzie Guillen. And I said it earlier in the show, I mean, there's two guys on the Mount Rushmore of entertainment in this city that I can remember, and it's Mike Ditka and it's Ozzie Guillen. Those two. Maybe Joe Maddon, a distant third, but Ozzie was as entertaining as they came, as a player, as a manager, and as a broadcaster. And I'm not saying that's the reason his jersey number is getting retired. It's just an added bonus that he's that fun to be around. That's for sure. All right, 312-332-3776, again, the phone number. So if you haven't heard what happened last night, and you've been in a cave somewhere in the last 24 hours, Will Venable had a moment. There's no doubt about it. Team arrived at 3:30 in the morning. Somebody was going to have a moment yesterday. It just turned out to be the manager. He wore it, though, afterwards. If you haven't heard by now, in the first inning, Noah Schultz on the mound, he made a second mound visit, not realizing that Zach Bove, the pitching coach, had already made one earlier after Noah Schultz had hit Joe Adell with a pitch. Bove went out there. A few minutes later, Will Venable went out there and didn't realize that Bove had, and so he was forced to make a pitching change after just 23 pitches. And, of course, something like that is going to go viral. Rough night for it to happen because of the 13-inning affair the night before. The last thing the White Sox wanted to do was use up their bullpen. Not the worst thing in the world in the sense that David Sandlin pitched 5 1/3 and gets sent back down. So they have fresh arms after, you know, what happened yesterday. But Will Venable had to sort of address it. He addressed it in game. That was something. Brooke Fletcher talked to him in game, and then he had to do it after the game as well. Here's Will Venable on what happened.
Yeah, just an inexcusable mistake by me, where we had an appeal play that we wanted to execute, and in the urgency of trying to make that happen, just totally lost, that we had visited, and obviously, that was a mistake. So yeah, just messed it up. That's on me. Just a mistake by me, and one of those you got to learn from, and can't happen, but it did. So. Move on from it. It's a mistake, but at the same time, as far as our game plan and what we had coming into the game, where at signs of trouble we're going to go short with Noah there and have Sandlin here for a bulk there in the middle of the game. So the impact on the overall plan wasn't significant, but certainly a mistake and something we got to move on from.
And just to bring it full circle to Ozzie Guillen, Chuck Garfine tweeted this last night when he was managing. One time he went to the bathroom mid-inning, didn't realize that pitching coach Don Cooper made a mound visit to talk with Javier Vasquez, and when Ozzie returned, he went to the mound to speak to Vasquez, who told Ozzie he now had to leave the game. So it's happened to Ozzie Guillen. It's happened to Will Venable. It's not something you see often. You don't even see managers go out to the mound often unless they're pulling the pitcher. So that was kind of strange in of itself. In any case, Noah wasn't pitching great. Now, of course, he could have settled down. A lot of pitchers have bad first innings and settled down. We don't know. Maybe he would have gone six innings. They certainly needed some length out of him. Wasn't pitching great. David Sandlin came in, gave up some runs, and it turned out to be pretty much a blowout by the Guardians, 8-2. So it was a third of an inning, three hits, two runs for Schultz. Sandlin went 5 1/3, seven hits, six runs, two walks. He gave up that big grand slam. Trevor Richards pitched 2 1/3, then Eric Fenney finished it off. And so, they needed some fresh arms. So Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith called up, both will be making their MLB debuts when they get into a game. White Sox have already debuted 13 players. This would be number 14 and 15. That'll be very interesting. Mo wants to chime in. Mo, driving to the park as well. What's happening? You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. To me, that loss, that 13 inning or whatever it was against Boston, to me, I just feel like that would be a very, very detrimental loss to this team. Now, there's no doubt that the Sox have overachieved at this point. This was kind of supposed to be like a developmental year, and, they've proven a lot of people wrong being in first place. But I think a game like that against Boston, I think it could prove to be very, very hurtful. And I think we saw some of the effects of that yesterday with, with the managerial decision to, obviously, he took that mound visit. And then, the Sox have proved all year that, they kind of do rise above from that adversity. But we've never seen them lose four in a row like they did yesterday. So I don't know. That's just my biggest fear, I'd say, with this team. And I hope they prove me wrong. But this is my biggest fear, that this will, continue in a downward spiral.
Yeah, so, okay, look, I was on the radio yesterday, and I did have a worry that that loss would leak into the weekend, but I don't think that loss is going to impact them the rest of the season. I think that would be quite the bold statement about one extra inning loss. I think for obvious reasons it could leak into this weekend because of the 3:30 a.m. arrival and the 13 innings using so many pitchers. Maybe it did impact yesterday's game. I would start to be a bit surprised if it impacted today after a good night's sleep and everything. So I think you're making too much of it. It's one loss out of 162. Most entertaining game of the year. They were right there in it. I know they blew all sorts of leads, whatever, but come on, this team's tougher than that, right? You kind of want it to stop here. You don't want it to leak into the whole weekend, and all of a sudden you're getting swept at home against the, the second place team. But let's just see how they react tonight, because I do think, it's a reset after having that good night's sleep and all. All right, 312-332-3776, the number if you want to jump on. Jerry Reinsdorf just put out a couple statements about Ozzie Guillen, and I want to get to that at the top of the hour as well. Jerry and Ozzie have been together this whole time, right? Jerry's owned the team this whole time, watching Ozzie become the manager and then this great broadcaster, and so they have a close relationship. So I'm going to read some of his comments in just a few minutes. It's White Sox Weekly. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Jeff Meller. We're back in a moment on ESPN 1000.
The Sox on your phone, the ESPN Chicago app.
Head to the ballpark on Saturday, August 22nd for Puerto Rican Heritage Night presented by Discover Puerto Rico as the White Sox take on the New York Mets at 6:40. 10,000 fans in attendance receive a White Sox wooden domino set. To purchase tickets and prepaid parking, visit whitesox.com/promos. Jesse Rogers back with you on White Sox Weekly. Let's pause 10 seconds for station ID.
This is ESPN Chicago, home of the White Sox. WMVP WTBC HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
All right, we are less than a half an hour away from the Ozzie Guillen jersey retirement ceremony. They've set up the podium in front of the third base dugout, and there's about seven or eight seats on that podium. And then in front of that is a whole bunch of other ones for former teammates, former players of Ozzie. You know, plenty of White Sox personnel going to be in attendance there. They have a number 13 carved into the infield right at shortstop where Ozzie used to man the infield from 1985 to 1997. Of course, manager of the World Series team in 2005, and now I'd like to call him an iconic broadcaster. And just a few minutes ago, owner Jerry Reinsdorf put out a statement about Ozzie Guillen, and here I'll read it to you. From the moment he joined this organization in spring training in 1985, Ozzie Guillen has been one of a kind. Retiring as number 13 is a very fitting honor for a man who thrilled White Sox fans as an all-star player and delivered a World Series trophy as a manager. We celebrate his accomplishments today by forever retiring his number alongside all of the other White Sox greats. Ozzie's energy, charisma, and passion are contagious, whether he is interacting with a security guard in the parking lot, teammates like Harold Baines, Carlton Fisk, or Tom Seaver, one of his players, or when he is speaking to fans each night on the pre- and post-game shows. His leadership during the 11-1 postseason run by the 05 World Series champion White Sox will never be forgotten by our fans. And we celebrate today the first Latin American manager who proudly raised the World Series trophy in front of millions of Chicagoans. When our scout, Jerry Krause, recommended Ozzie to then-general manager Roland Heeman, we had no idea what we were getting. I think we acquired a jockey, Roland told me back then after Ozzie first reported to spring training. In 2003, when we were searching for a manager, then general manager Ken Williams said to me that he had found his man, adding that I'm going to fight you if you don't let me hire him. I asked who, and he replied, Ozzie Guillen. The rest is White Sox history, and we celebrate it and him today. Well said statement by Chairman Jerry Reinsdorf. Ozzie Guillen getting his moment in the sunshine, literally, because he's going to be standing in the podium as the sun wavers over the infield there, and his jersey number 13 will never be worn again as they retire it in a ceremony starting in about a half an hour. 312-332-3776 is the number. Today's White Sox Twitter poll. You can go to ESPN1000 to vote. I like this one. Which version of Ozzie Guillen is your favorite? The player, the manager, or the broadcaster? Now, for those of us that are old enough, like myself, that's a tough choice. Now, depending on your age category, it might be an easier choice for you. The player, the manager, or the broadcaster? I have to think about that one. Player, manager, or broadcaster? Since I covered him a little bit as a reporter when he was managing, I'm going to go with manager. Because I was entertained on a daily basis, not just watching him on TV, not from the stands. Like, I was in the dugout when he was just as politically incorrect as you could be as a manager, but entertaining as all hell and harmless with that. That's the thing. It all was out of love, like making fun of his wife and stuff like that, or other reporters. It was all out of love. He used to give me crap. He used to call me a Cub fan all the time because AJ put in his head that I was a Cub fan because, like, my daughter was wearing blue one day or something just out of nowhere. Get that Cub fan out of here. So much fun. So much fun to be around. Iconic figure in Chicago, that's for sure. Let's go to Randy in Mount Greenwood, wants to talk about that Red Sox series. Randy, you're on White Sox Weekly.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, you know, I love Ozzy as a manager and as a broadcaster. He's the best. But, you know, previous caller, you kind of brushed him off a little bit and said that maybe that last game in Boston is, you know, might, you know, put the season downhill. And maybe that is a little dramatic, but I think one of the things that makes me get at the game on 13 innings, but Will Venable has really pressed on this bullpen a ton to try to pull out every single game, and I get it they're ahead of schedule, but I think that's going to really come back to bite them. And you said that you think this team is tougher than that. I've heard so much about the resolve of this team, but it's still August, you know? I mean, there's a lot of unproven players that have really don't know what they really are. Even Murakami, yes, he got off to a great start. He got hurt. He comes back. He hasn't been as good. But like, to say that you know a ton about this team, I think it's hard to know. You're 3 games over .500, and it's a really, really weak American League. Yes, they've had some really good moments where they, you know, beat 2 or 3 at the Rays, but they're bad on the road, and they really struggle against teams that are good. I mean, if you look at the record, we don't know. There's not a lot of track record. Miguel Vargas is starting to kind of cool off. Tristan Peters was a great field story all-star. He hasn't got a hit since the all-star game. So I don't know if we know that much about them to know that they're that tough. This could end that Venable's that great of a manager.
All right, two things. I'm going to leave you on so we could discuss it. I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, but I don't think that has to do specifically with that Red Sox loss. I think everything you say could be true despite that game. And as far as Venable and the bullpen, look, it's not his fault that went 13 innings. I guess yesterday was his fault, but it's not his fault that Noah Schultz is acting like a rookie a lot of the times and he's not going deep. It's not his fault that Chris Getz didn't get him an extra pitcher last Monday, which I just mentioned last segment. So I don't think you can blame Venable for bullpen-related things when some of it's out of his hands. You go 13 innings, you know, that's not necessarily on the manager. Although the third base coach and Brandon Montgomery said, you know, we could analyze that to death. You know, maybe that game shouldn't have gone 13. But what you say about a young team trying to win a division, debuting up to 15 players, trying to play good baseball for 6 months is all true. That's why it's as tight as it is, and there's no guarantee they're going to win it. But they've lasted this long in first place. I think they still have a great shot.
Yeah, I you know, obviously the Tigers are hanging around, and they're, you know, they're, again, I mean, it's a very, very mediocre division. But
yeah.
I'm not pinpointing at all on the 13 inning game.
Yeah.
But I just think this year he's a lot of openers, and yes, I guess maybe he is trying to make up for a lack of Chris Getz's moves. And, you know, Davis Martin was a great, again, another feel good story for a half. You know, he's 29 years old and he's kind of is what his stats are, basically what they've been since he's been with the Sox, you know. And I just think that moving forward, you know, you just can't rely on 100%. You just don't know. And I think, I think you know that they're going to be in it because it's just a really bad division.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. I disagree with a lot of what you're saying. They don't have to beat the Red Sox to win this division or get to the playoffs. They just have to beat the teams behind them, not even in front of them, the teams behind them. And yeah, a lot of the stuff you say is true, but he is trying to manage all this while developing 13 players that made their debuts. Now they're not all up here now, but you know, that it just tells the story of the season. The fact that all these young players are just getting their feet wet. So yeah, there's openers and there's manipulations and pinch hitting early because these guys are not fully formed players and you're trying to get 6 good months out of them. I mean, it's an amazing Will Venable to me is the runaway winner. Now, Chad Tracy's going to give him a chance. I'm talking about manager of the year. Chad Tracy's going to give him a run for his money and might end up winning it. But to this date, until that Red Sox run, Will Venable was the runaway manager of the year for me in the American League. Now, Chad Tracy, like I said, That's a real contest now. It was Will Venables to lose, and Tracy might just win it. But, man, I think he's done a great job. He really has. All right, let's take another break on White Sox Weekly. We are getting ever so close to the Ozzie Guillen jersey retirement ceremony. Stay with us. We will bring you most of it right here on ESPN 1000.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday morning, 6 to 9, ESPN Chicago.
Learn from the pros this summer at a White Sox summer camp starting at $165. Kids ages 5 through 12 can register for a 4-day baseball camp. Campers will receive a Sox swag bag with a White Sox branded compression arm sleeve, two tickets for a 2026 White Sox home game, and more. To learn more, visit whitesox.com/camps. Jesse Rogers back with you on White Sox Weekly, inching closer to the Ozzie Guillen number 13 jersey retirement ceremony. We will bring you most of that during the pregame show. Len and DJ are standing by for the call of tonight's game. The Guardians and the White Sox coming up just after 6 o'clock. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ron is out there and wants to talk a little bit about the team right now. What's happening, Ron? You're on ESPN 1000.
Okay, Jesse. Ozzie's right. You are a Cubs fan. We know that. That's okay. Anyways, what I wanted to say is the Sox don't have enough pitching, you know, to go all the way. I know Griskas made a choice to not go after, want to go get it, go give up more of his prospects. But, you know, with Castillo and, you know, Burke is the only one, and Martin looks like he's run out of gas. I love the Sox, but they just don't have the pitching, you know, to go all the way. And I disagree with that caller also who said that, you know, they're not good against good teams. They played good against, they beat the Rays. And the Yankees, they split at least at home. I know they had a tough time when they were in New York. But Boston, they just so took the stuffing out of them. They just kept coming back in that game. If you listen to that game, they kept coming back and coming back, the Sox. And they were relentless, Boston. I mean, anybody. I think Boston beat anybody that day. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no. Actually, that second part of your call is exactly right. They have played toe-to-toe with some of the best teams. Nobody's beating Boston these days, although the Red Sox are losing today. But in general, losing to the Red Sox should not kill your self-esteem. Right now, they're just a juggernaut. And the White Sox have absolutely held their own against better teams. And I do agree with you. I think it is a question. Should they have done more at the deadline? Should they have added one more? I think it's something we might be talking about for the final 7 weeks here. Maybe not. Maybe Luis Castillo will give them the length they've talked about, and Hagen Smith or Tanner McDougal will come up here and do some amazing things, and we will say they do have enough pitching. But I think it's something to at least keep an eye on, because I know they were thinking about it. Do we need one more? Do we need one more? All right, before we get to the pregame show, the official pregame show, and the ceremony here, why don't we hear from Ozzie Guillen a little bit? He joined Len and DJ a while back, shortly after getting the news that his jersey number was going to get retired. And he just talked about his love affair with the city of Chicago and what this city means to him. Here's Ozzie.
Always. A lot of people say, well, are you crazy? How you stay in Chicago with the weather? I love Chicago, man. You know, we move, everybody move. And we live together here in the suburbs. And I have a great time here. The people, the respect is mutual. You know what I mean? Just something. My kids all grow up here. My grandkids are going to be Illinois, Chicago people, and this town to me is a lot. I mean, especially when you're coming from another country, you base in some places, so you can base any place you want, but in the end of the day, I appreciate what Chicago people, fans, north side, south side, east, whatever it is, the respect they have for me and the love they have for myself is mutual. You know what I mean? I love them a lot, and the respect they have and the love they have is just something you cannot take it with you. It's just special. You know what I mean? Just the love I have from the people in the streets and the golf course, anywhere I go, it's mean to me a lot. That's one of the biggest reasons we stay here in Chicago.
You'll hear more from Ozzie Guillen during the ceremony, and I believe he's scheduled to join Len and DJ in the first inning, first or second inning, early in the game. Just tune in. He'll be here early in the game with Len and DJ after the ceremony. Let me give you a little play-by-play before we wrap up White Sox Weekly. Ozzie has made his way onto the field. A lot of hugs from some of the people out there, along with some of the fans. He's been signing some autographs. They have a podium set up right in front of the White Sox dugout. There's six or seven seats up on that podium. Chuck Garfine's going to MC the ceremony. And then there's a bunch of seats in front of the podium for some of the former players and teammates to sit at. I see Jerry Reinsdorf just sat down there. They have number 13 etched into the infield. They did that earlier during the show, actually, about an hour ago. They drew that in the infield, the number 13 right in the shortstop position where Ozzie manned for 13 seasons with the Chicago White Sox. Rookie of the Year in 85, World Series winning manager in 05, and now an iconic broadcaster. So it's like every 20 years, you know, we get a taste of Ozzie Guillen here and one of the greats, one of the greats, and one of the great personalities to be around. So they're getting things set up. We will bring you most of that ceremony during the pregame show. I'm sure Len and DJ will be talking about it throughout the game. And again, they will have Ozzie Guillen in the booth early on in this game between the Cleveland Guardians and your Chicago White Sox, who are trying to snap their longest losing skid of the year. And if they do, we will give all the credit to Ozzie Guillen, because tonight is the night that this place is going to be feeling it. There's going to be a lot of energy in this building. And after that 13-inning loss and then sort of another kind of different ugly loss yesterday, the Sox could probably use all the energy they could get. Good night's sleep helps as well after arriving at 3:30 in the morning yesterday morning before having to play last night, losing 8-2 to the Cleveland Guardians. Two newcomers, if you didn't hear about it. Tanner McDougal has been called up. He'll make his MLB debut when he gets in the game. And Hagen Smith, who was the number 5 overall pick in the 24 draft. I was at the draft when they made that pick. And he got called up as well. A couple fresh bullpen arms. And they will be number 14 and 15 players to make their MLB debuts on the White Sox this year. 13 is the most by any team. 13 is already the most by any team this season. The last time a playoff team had 13 or more players make their MLB debuts was in 2022. The Guardians and the Cardinals both did it. But again, the Sox are going to get up to 15 when they both get in. 13 is the most for the White Sox since 2000. It ties, actually, the most. 2024, they had 13 debut, I should say. But that was a 41-121 team. This team's 59-56, and they're going to debut 15 new players. And so when they get to 14 and 15, it'll be the most since 2000. That's a lot of newcomers and a lot of contributions from them to get them and keep them in first place. Pretty cool. Pretty cool by the White Sox. Everyone's taking their seats. They're going to start this ceremony momentarily. We're going to start the official pregame show. I've got your pre- and postgame for you as Jeff Miller is off for a couple more days. And it should be a really, really fun night as Chuck Garfine's going to take the mic. He joined me early in the show. I see A.J. Pierzynski out there. I see some of the other guys getting ready to take their seats. Paul Konerko's here, Harold Baines, some of the iconics who already have their numbers retired. Ozzie Guillen is going to be joining that list shortly. Let's go through it again. Nellie Fox, number 2. Harold Baines, number 3. Luke Appling, number 4. So if you want 2, 3, or 4, no go if you're a White Sox, a potential White Sox player someday. Minnie Minoso's number 9 is retired. Luis Aparicio, number 11. Paul Konerko's number 14. Ted Lyons, number 16. Billy Pierce, number 19. Frank Thomas, number 35. Mark Burley, the most recent one, number 56. Carlton Fisk, number 72. And, of course, Jackie Robinson is retired across Major League Baseball, number 42. And today, tonight, Ozzie Guillen's number 13 will be retired as well. That's going to about do it for me for White Sox Weekly. Hope you enjoyed the 2 hours. It flew by. It really did. We've got the official White Sox pregame show coming up, and within that show, you will hear most of the jersey retirement ceremony. Thanks to Jake Littman and Brendan Riley for producing White Sox Weekly. Stay tuned. It's going to be a fun, fun night here at the Rate, starting with the ceremony in just a few moments. You've been listening to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.